Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Giving all glory, all honor, and all praises to the Holy One of Israel, who is Yahweh, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We welcome you again to another broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. And I am Moray Isha, here to bring you Nothing But the Truth. We'd like to say shalom to all our listeners and viewers. And we know that the only reason that you are listening is because of your great fear towards the mighty Yah. Again, this is Nothing But the Truth. And we're here located at the House of Israel of Cincinnati, 1907 Vine Street. And Yahweh has purposed it that we are to bring you His word and His word only. The truth about the mighty Yah. So we are always attempting to let you know that if you hear something that you believe is not the truth, or that you have any questions, you can give us a call. Also, you can email us. Our email is hoycincy@gmail.com. You can get to our email by going to our website, worldgatheringisrael.org. That's worldgatheringisrael.org, where you can also go to get the information about our upcoming conference, which is going to be held this coming November, the 24th through the 25th, in Memphis, Tennessee. And we will be in Memphis, Tennessee, at the Hyatt of Memphis, Germantown. You can get the information from our website. But the conference is our 24th Winter Annual Restoration of the Sacred Laws of the Most High Conference. And we will be discussing the great mighty laws and words of the Most High, as we have been doing for the last 24 years. But let's get into what we're going to be dealing with this evening. As I stated, we're going to be dealing with nothing but the truth of the word of the mighty Yah. And who is this Yahweh? Yahweh is the creator of the heavens, earth, and seas, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the Holy One of Israel, the so-called black man and woman in America. Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And Yahweh is the only king and the only judge and the only lawgiver and the only redeemer of Yisrael and the world. Yahweh is the truth and nothing but the truth. And we will be discussing with you this evening the remnant. What is the remnant? Because before we are able to show you the signs of the remnant, you have to know what is a remnant. And the Most High has allowed us to see His word, and He has raised us up to teach His word. And what we will teach is what is a remnant. Now let me show you what Yahweh has shown us about a remnant. First, go to the book of Isaiah, the 10th chapter. And in Isaiah chapter 10, we'll begin reading in the 20th verse. And it states here, "And it shall come to pass that the remnant of Israel, and such as are escaped of the house of Yaakov, shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon Yah, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Yaakov, unto the mighty Elohim. So what is this remnant? The Most High doesn't want you to think that the remnant is a massive amount of people. Don't believe your teachers or your brothers or sisters that tell you and teach you that we are all going home, or that we are all going to be in the land of our fathers. This is a fallacy that has been expressed. The Most High never, ever stated that he is going to deliver, or I should say that he is going to save the whole entire nation. But Yahweh said this in Jeremiah, the 30th chapter. Because you want to know what a remnant is. So when we show you the signs of the remnant, you won't think that everybody will have these signs upon them. But quite the contrary, most people will not. In Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, we'll start reading around the 12th verse. Yahweh says, well, I'll start at the 11th. It states, "For I am with thee, saith Yah, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered you." So what does that tell you? That statement right there, what does that let you know? That Yahweh will make a full, complete, whole end of all the nations where he has scattered the children of Israel. And he has scattered Israel to the four corners of the earth, letting you know Israel is in every part of the globe. So that means every nation on every continent has had their hand in oppressing the children of Yahweh. And Yahweh will end in its entirety all of those nations. Therefore, there is nowhere any nation can run to or hide. And Yahweh said, I will not, though I will make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet I will not make a full end of thee, but I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. So, letting you know that you're not going to escape his sword either. The only difference between you and the other nations is that somebody out of the children of Yahweh will be delivered and saved. The nation of Israel will not be eradicated. The nation of Israel will not be diminished to nothing. He said in verse 12, "For thus saith Yah, thy bruise is incurable and thy wound is grievous. There is none that plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicine. All thy lovers have forgotten thee. They seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one. For the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased, why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto you. Therefore, all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all they that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith Yahweh. Because they call thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. So Yahweh's letting you know he's going to destroy with a holistic destruction everyone that is oppressed the children of Israel. Yet he will correct us in measure, letting you know that you and I are not going to be unscathed. Some of the children of Yahweh will perish. Some of the children of the Almighty will be cast to the side because of our iniquities. Let me also show you what it says in the book of Jeremiah, the third chapter, the 14th verse. Just to show you that you've been lied to when anybody has told you that you're going to make it no matter what happens. That's what the Christian religion has lied to you and I for years. You just need to do this thing, baptize yourself in the name of somebody and somebody else and somebody else. And they never tell you the name. And then they say, then when you die, you'll be saved. Well, that's not how Yahweh works. Yahweh is a real, true, and living Elohim. He has real laws, real words, and real consequences. And if you do not follow his law, you will face the real consequences. In the book of Jeremiah, the third chapter, the 14th verse, the Almighty lets us know, turn, O backsliding children, saith Yahweh, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Now, that doesn't sound like everybody. That doesn't sound like your whole family is going to make it. That doesn't sound like everybody in your city is going to make it. And that sure doesn't sound like everybody in your congregation is going to make it. Especially since he said he's going to take one of a city. So I know that doesn't sound pretty. That sounds grim. That sounds bleak. That sounds hopeless for some people. And only one from the city is going to be to Zion. And only two from the family is going home to Zion. That sounds quite opposite of what your teachers have been telling you. Your congregation is the remnant. That this is the remnant right now. Because if you are in the city, you better start trying to look around and start saying, well, how are you going to be that one? And if you're in the family, you better start looking around and trying to figure out how are you going to be of the two. Because Yahweh's word will not come back void. So let me show you what Yahweh considers a remnant. You go to the book of Genesis, the sixth chapter. We'll start reading in the seventh verse. It says here, and Yahweh said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of Yahweh. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with Elohim. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before Elohim, and the earth was filled with violence. Does that sound familiar? And Elohim looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And Elohim said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. So the Almighty let Noah know that all the nations on the earth need to be destroyed. Didn't Yahweh say to Jeremiah that he will make a full end of all nations? Yes, he did. Well, here he's telling Noah that he's going to just not only destroy all the people, but even the earth. Then he says, make you an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. The breadth of it shall be 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window thou shalt make into the ark, and the cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof. With lower second and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant. And thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark, to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female, of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. And thou shalt, and take thou unto thee all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all Elohim commanded him, so did he. Now what is the remnant? You see, all of the earth was to be destroyed. Everything that had life. But Yahweh said he found grace in Noah, because Noah was a just man, a righteous man, a perfect man. He walked with Elohim, and he saved him and his sons and their wives. And he only wanted Noah to take male and female of every animal. Even there was even a remnant of the animals, because the whole world was to be destroyed. So ask yourself, when the Most High returns, and he already let us know he's only taking a remnant from Israel, are you just? Are you righteous? Are you walking with Elohim? Because that's how Noah received grace from the Almighty. Again, look in Genesis 7, verse 5. It states, and Noah did according unto all that Yahweh commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters of the earth was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him, into the ark, because of the waters of the flood. This was a remnant, because that's what remnant means. It just means residue, small amount. And you see Noah, it was just eight people, eight sons of Adam. That's it. Just eight people. And two male and female of every animal and creeping thing. Because Yahweh was destroying the earth, and he only left a remnant to regenerate the earth. Again, let me show you another example of a remnant. As I showed you in Jeremiah, Yahweh said, one of a city, two of a family. And what is a remnant? It's something small. And Noah and his family was the remnant upon the earth in his days, who Yahweh delivered. Now, Yahweh told us he's only bringing a remnant back to Jerusalem, back to his holy land. And you see, we're starting to see the type of criteria one must have to be part of that remnant. In the book of Genesis, the 19th chapter, start reading in the 12th verse. It states here, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because of the cry of them is waxing great before the face of Yahweh. And Yahweh has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for Yahweh will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. Yeah, that's how some people behave. Because Yahweh said, the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand. But the wise will understand. So when somebody comes unto you and lets you know it's time to go, it's time to make moves for the mighty Yah. And don't be like the sons-in-law of Lot, who looked at him like, and they mocked him. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, and Yahweh being merciful unto him. Now, why was Yahweh merciful? Yahweh said he will show mercy unto who? He will show mercy. Yahweh being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my master. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast shewed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen up upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar, and Yahweh rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from Yahweh out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before Yah. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when Elohim destroyed the cities of the plain, that Elohim remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Now, why did Yahweh deliver and save Lot and his two daughters? You'll notice I said deliver and save Lot and his two daughters, because he delivered Lot and his wife and his two daughters, but he saved his two daughters and Lot, because his wife turned back around and returned into a pillar of salt. And they were told to not look back. That's what they were told, to go, to flee, and don't look back. But, and let me show you that. I think it was earlier in verse 17. It says, and it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for your life. Look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. But she did not listen. She looked back. So she didn't save her own self. She didn't listen to the instructions. She got delivered. She got taken out of the city. She didn't die the death of all the wicked people in Sodom and Gomorrah, yet she did perish and was turned into a pillar of salt because she had to look back, because her heart was with that place. And Yahweh was delivering them from evil. And you can't have that evil lingering in your heart when Yahweh is trying to remove you from it. And why did Yahweh save Lot? And why did it say he remembered Abraham? Did Abraham die for Lot's sins? No. Did Abraham sacrifice a goat for Lot's sins? No. But this is what Abraham did. It's in Genesis, the 18th chapter, and in the 23rd verse, and it says, and Abraham drew near and said, behold, and said, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Will thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And Yahweh said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then will I spare all the place for their sakes. So Yahweh was letting Abraham know that he does not slay the righteous with the wicked. And since Yahweh couldn't find 10, he found Lot and Lot's wife and Lot's two daughters. That's four people. And even Lot's wife couldn't let go of Sodom and Gomorrah, so she didn't make it. But three people. And Yahweh delivered and saved three people. He set them apart, as we've been teaching, that the third is something holy and sanctified. And Yahweh set apart three people, not 10. Because if there was 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or 50, he would have saved the entire city. But it was only three of them, and he did not let them die the death of the wicked. He took them out of the city, and they were a residue of that city, a small amount, or what you would call and what is called a remnant. Because you see that Noah was a righteous and just and perfect man who walked with Elohim, and Lot also was found to be more righteous than these wicked people in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. But again, what is a remnant? We see so far that it's definitely not millions of people. Though Israel be as the stars of the heaven for multitude, he said he will only deliver a remnant. He will only bring a remnant back. And we're starting to see what this remnant is. Yahweh said, one from a city and two from a family will he bring to Zion. And if you didn't believe that Yahweh was serious, just look how many he delivered from the whole entire world when he destroyed it with a flood. The entire earth was destroyed. Everything that had the breath of life was destroyed, and Yah only saved 8 souls alive. When Yahweh destroyed the great and populous cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and their fields and their plains, Yahweh only saved 3 of those people. That's it. You're not seeing even more than 10 so far. And one from a city and 2 from a family is definitely not 10 or 20, let alone thousands, millions, or even the 20s or scores of people that may be in your congregation. And what is it that these remnant had upon them that they were able to be saved? So far, it's just righteousness. Now let's look in the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter, to show you another example of Yahweh's perspective of a remnant. Because if I give you my perspective of a remnant, it surely wouldn't be the truth. And Yahweh didn't ordain me to tell you my opinion. But he did put the spirit in me to tell you his words. And Yahweh wants you to know that there's only one way to look at things when it comes to Yahweh's word. And that's what Yahweh has said. In the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter, the first verse, it states here, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moshe and against Aharon, or Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, would Elohim that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would Elohim we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath Yahweh brought us unto this land, to fall by the sword, that our wives and our little and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? And why were the people sounding so crazy and so afraid and throwing their children and their wives as if they were concerned about them? Because this is what the men were saying. Of course, the wives weren't saying our wives, and the children weren't saying our children. This is what the men were saying. And this is why Israel's men need to step up. We can't be like this, even though a lot of us are. We like to put our fears on our wives and our children. Yet Yahweh knows the truth. And he says in here, And so why were they so upset? Well, because 12 princes went into the land of Israel while the rest waited in the wilderness, and they went and spied out the land as Yahweh commanded Moses to tell them to do. And they went and spied out the land, and they came back with all kind of beautiful fruit, but they had a report that the land was filled with great kingdoms, even the children of Anak, who say, who is like the children of Anak? But only a couple of people said, no, these people of the land are bread for us. But the rest of the princes brought a bad report about the holy land that Yahweh promised to the seed of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. See, this was a terrible thing. And they seeded fear and distrust and disloyalty and rebellion against the word of the mighty Yah. So this was a great evil thing. And in verse 4, Numbers, the 14th chapter, it says, and they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Yehoshua, or Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel. The land which we passed through to search it is an exceeding good land. If Yahweh delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against Yahweh, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and Yahweh is with us. Fear them not. You see how strong and zealous and honorable and righteous Caleb and Yehoshua was for Yahweh? Just two brothers, two men. While the other princes brought a bad report of fear and distrust and disloyalty and rebellion to the word of the mighty Yah. Yahweh is the only power. Yet they didn't believe Yah. But Caleb and Joshua wanted the people to know, don't be afraid. Yahweh is with us. This land is for us, and the people are bread for us. But verse 10 says, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of Yahweh appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. See, because all these other princes had raised this report, the people, they didn't care what Joshua and Caleb said. They thought they was trying to get them sent up the way, get them taken out. So they said, stone them with stones. And that made Yah real angry. And Yah came down before all the congregation, verse 11, and Yahweh said unto Moses, how long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me? For all the signs which I have shewed among them, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto Yah, then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land. For they have heard that thou, Yahweh, are among this people, that thou, Yahweh, are seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard thy fame of thee will speak, saying, because Yahweh was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. And now I beseech thee, let the power of my master be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, Yahweh is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Pardon, I pray thee, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of thy mercy, and as thou hast forgiven this people from Egypt even unto now. And Yahweh said, I have pardoned according to thy word, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yah, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and he hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now you see that? Yahweh said, look, Moses, I'm a pardon them. I'm not going to destroy all of them. I'm a pardon them. But I am going to make sure those men that went into the land and all those families that murmured up against me about their scary little fears and that they were disloyal, said they're not going to make it. Except Caleb. And then he lets you also know in the 35th verse, it says, I, Yahweh, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. And let me show you what he's talking about he's going to do. It says in verse 30, doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Yehoshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, which ye have said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness, after the number of the days which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall be your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. I, Yahweh, have said, I will surely do unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall be consumed, and there they shall die. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him by bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land, died by the plague of Yahweh. But Yehoshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Now you see how Yahweh delivered and saved two people? Just two. Out of all the men that were 20 years old and above, Caleb and Yehoshua, only made it. That's it. The rest of them were 20 years and younger. They didn't make those are the ones that did make it. But the older ones, they didn't, because they were afraid of Yahweh's word. Not afraid in a good sense, but afraid of what he said they needed to do. They were afraid of the people in the land. They were afraid. They didn't believe the mighty Yah. After he split the Red Sea and they walked over dry land, after he cleaned the waters with a tree branch, after the mighty Yah gave them manna to rise up every morning, after he rained quails for them, after he did all these great miracles, they were still afraid to go and take their possession. But Caleb and Joshua, as Yahweh said, they followed him wholly, fully. That means they walked with the Most High. That means they were altogether upright with the Creator. They were perfect with Yahweh. And they didn't do what the other men did and bring a false report, an evil report, a bad report, because they knew that Yahweh is the power of powers, the King of kings, and the only Elohim. That's what we have to know. And that's how they became part of the remnant that made it into the land. Now, we've shown you, Yahweh said only a remnant is going to go and say, let's not lean on those that smote us. Let me show you that again. In Isaiah, the 20th or the 10th chapter. So you can understand now what Yahweh is talking about. And you have to know this. We have to show you this, because what we're about to do is teach the signs of the remnant. Because Yahweh has put signs on the remnant. And when you see the signs of the remnant, then you'll know who the remnant is and who the remnant is not. But before we show you the signs of the remnant, you have to know what the remnant is, so you don't think that everybody's going to make it. And so you could clearly understand that these signs of the remnant are only going to be on a certain type of people. So when your teachers and your brothers and your sisters tell you that we're all going home, every last one of us is going to make it, or they say you're not going to be able to keep the Sabbath day until we get to the land, you can't keep the laws of Yahweh in captivity, you can only do Yah's law in the land. Well, these people must obviously believe that everybody's going to get to go home to keep the law, which is a lie, a straight lie. Yes, that's what it is. There's no other thing that it is. There's no misunderstanding about it. Anybody that tells you that you can't keep Yah's law in captivity has lied to you. Because I guarantee you, that same person that tells you you can't keep Yah's law in captivity used to keep Yah's law in captivity until they decided they didn't have to. And as it says, misery loves company. And all they want to do is bring you down. Just like the other princes of Israel that decided to spread a false and evil and negative and bad report about Yah's beautiful holy land that they saw with their own eyes. Isn't that like a rebellious Israelite? To see how good the law is, to know how righteous his words are, to see how beautiful his Shabbat is, then go and say to the next man or woman that you can't do it. Not here. Because for whatever reason, they became fearful of another man, fearful of some situation, cowardly, and not able to stand as a true servant of the Most High. And they just want to take you down with them. Well, you can't let them do it. And that is why Yahweh has caused his spirit to raise us up to the occasion to teach you the truth and nothing but the truth about his word. So you can see what Yahweh wants you to do. So you can have the opportunity to be saved, to be delivered, to be free, and to be holy and righteous as Yahweh has purposed you to be. But in the book of Isaiah, the 10th chapter, the 20th verse, it states, "And it shall come to pass that in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Yaakov shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but they shall stay upon Yah, the Holy One of Israel in truth." And that's not going to be a lot of people. That's not going to be your entire congregation. That's not going to be your whole family. That's not going to be everybody in your city. That's not going to be everybody in your state, country, town, or whatever. Yahweh has already shown us that he don't need a lot of folks. A remnant is a small amount. And we can see by what he said to Jeremiah that he's only going to take two from a city, or one from a city and two from a family, that it's not going to be a great amount of people. So don't let them lie to you. Don't let anybody tell you a false story that you can make it and you don't keep the law of the Most High. Because as we saw, when Yahweh destroyed the earth with Noah, Noah was righteous. Noah walked with Elohim. Noah was perfect. And how do you be perfect? How do you walk with Yah? How can you be righteous if you don't keep the law? We saw that Lot was delivered and saved. So he was righteous, because Yah said he won't destroy the righteous with the wicked. We saw that Caleb and Yehoshua fully walked after Yah. And they had a different spirit than the rebels that had a bad report. So how is it that somebody's going to tell you that you cannot keep Yah's law in the captivity, and you have to go home to do it, but Yahweh hasn't shown not one place where anybody that didn't keep his law, anybody that wasn't righteous, could not have made it into salvation? Where is that in the book? Well, I'll tell you where it is in the book. It's in that place called nowhere. That's exactly where it is. And let me show you what Yahweh said in the book of Ezekiel, the 14th chapter. Because we're going to show Yahweh's truth. As the Psalms says, Yahweh, your word is the truth. And what is truth? truth is something that's verified. And that is exactly what we're doing today, verifying the truth that Yahweh has already told you. In the book of Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, start reading in the 12th verse, and it states, "The word of Yahweh came again to me, saying, Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it, and will break the staff of the bread thereof, and will send famine upon it, and will cut off man and beast from it. Though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in it, they should deliver but their own souls by their righteousness, saith Yah." You see, my people, Yahweh said in the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter, the 6th verse, he said, "I am Yahweh. That is my name. I do not change." And so far, as we've been going over the holy words of the Almighty, whose name is Yah, we have seen one consistent fact that the only way you can be delivered and saved is by righteousness. Look in verse 15. He said, "If I cause noisome beasts to pass through the land, and they spoil it so that it be desolate, that no man may pass through because of the beast, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, they only shall be delivered, but the land shall be desolate." So that annihilates, eradicates theology that a perfect man can die for your sins. Because Noah, Daniel, and Job were perfect. Yahweh said they were perfect. Yahweh said they were righteous. And he said they can't deliver anybody, not their own children, not their own family, which Yahweh said only two from a family, one from a city. And Noah, Daniel, and Job, though they be perfect men, can't deliver you or I. Only their own souls. So why is it that you would listen to a man or woman that tells you to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost when Yahweh never said anything like that? Yahweh never let you know that that's how you're going to be saved and delivered, or delivered and saved. Yahweh never said that we're going to have a rapture, because that's what they're telling you right now. That in September the 23rd, the rapture will come. Don't listen to these liars that are telling you these lies. All that is going to happen on September the 23rd is the sun will rise and the sun will set, and Yahweh will be king over all the earth. And no rapture is going to take a massive amounts of people off of the earth to take them up into heaven. That is not the remnant. In the book of Ezekiel, the 14th chapter, the 17th verse, he says, "Or if I bring a sword upon that land and say, sword, go through the land, so that I cut off man and beast from it, though these three men were in it, as I live, saith Yah Elohim, they shall deliver neither sons nor daughters, but they only shall be delivered themselves. Or if I send a pestilence into that land and pour out my fury upon it in blood to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness." So I don't know who has been talking to you lately, but they haven't been telling you the truth of the mighty Yahweh, that you and only you are the one who can save your own self. Only you. Because Yahweh wants one thing from you and one thing only, and that is your righteousness. Go to the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, just to prove to you what I just said to you. Because many are thinking, what do you mean I can save only myself? The only way you can even think to be a part of the remnant is to be like the remnant that is in the book. And there are signs that are upon the remnant. And you got to know these signs. Because you could just say, well, okay, I'm going to be righteous. But you got to know how to be righteous. And there's signs on the remnant. And we're going to bring those signs to you in the next few days. But before we show you the signs of the remnant, we got to show you explicitly what is a remnant. And so far, I haven't counted a remnant over 10 people. And in the book of Ezekiel, the 18th chapter, start reading in verse 25. And it says here, yet ye say, the way of Yahweh is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done, he shall die. Because Yahweh is fair. Yes, he is. In verse 26 or 27, again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Let me repeat that. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness. That's right. Wicked man, turn from your wickedness. And what is wickedness? If it's not the laws, statutes, judgments, and commandments of the mighty Yah, it's wickedness. So turn from your wickedness. Stop eating swine. Stop going after Yah's, against Yah's laws. Stop going to the churches. Stop going to the mosque. Stop howling after the moon. Stop chasing the stars. Stop chasing the sun. Stop chasing white women. Turn to the Most High and chase his word. Follow after his law. That's what he means. When a wicked man turns away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful. And if you want to know what's lawful, you got to go to the what? To the law. And right. And if you want to know what's right, you got to go to Yah's law. He shall save his soul alive, because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed. He shall surely live. He shall not die. See, that's what we have to do. That's how you even attempt to be considered to be a remnant. But if you're not doing that, Don't even consider it. That's why whoever's telling you you can't keep the Sabbath in America, they're lying to you. Where does it say in this verses that I've read that you have to do this in Israel or Jerusalem or Zion? No. It says just turn from your wickedness. That it didn't say nothing about do it when you get back home. And just to show you that a remnant, just to show you that being a man or woman of high stature in the congregation, in the nation, amongst your homies, does not make you an automatic shoo-in for the remnant. Let me show you what I mean. Go to the book of Numbers, the 20th chapter. Some people believe that because they're a Moray, a Kohen, a Sar, a Prince, a Nasi, or a Nabi, that they're going to be there. They going to make it. They going home. And they going to teach you that all you got to do is follow them and you're going home. Well, brothers and sisters, those people are lying to you. Because stature alone does not get you a ticket to the remnant. In Numbers, the 20th chapter, the 23rd verse, it says here, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses and Aaron in Mount Hor, by the coast of the land of Edom, saying, Aaron shall be gathered to his people, for he shall not enter into the land which I have given unto the children of Israel, because ye rebelled against my word at the water of Meribah. Take Aaron and Eleazar his son, and bring them up upon Mount Hor, and strip Aaron of his garments, and put them upon Eleazar his son, and Aaron shall be gathered unto his people, and shall die there." You see that? Aaron, the man that walked with Moses, the man that Yahweh said, "Moses, you shall be like Elohim, and Aaron, your brother, shall be like your prophet." When Yahweh told Moses to hold up the staff, Aaron had to go hold up the staff. When Yahweh told Moses to turn the water to blood, Aaron had to put the staff in the water and turn it to blood. Aaron was Moses' mouthpiece. Aaron was not only that, Yahweh chose Aaron to be the patriarch, the chief of the whole family of Levites, and every son out of the seed of Aaron shall be of the high priest. He sanctified them and set them apart, even from the Levites, to be the high priest. Aaron was the first high priest in Israel. How much higher in stature can you get? And he didn't make it. And you think I'm done there? No. Go to Numbers, the 27th chapter. Just to show you, a remnant is not a political decision. A lot of people are practicing politics in Israel. And Yahweh said that's that holier-than-thou spirit. But you can't be holier-than-thou. Having a political position, being the chief, being the Nasi, being the Sar, being the Moray, being the pastor, being the minister, being the Nabi, doesn't get you into Yah's remnant. And you see why Aaron didn't make it. He rebelled against the word of Yah. And look in the book of Numbers, the 27th chapter. Start reading in the 12th verse, where it states, "And Yahweh said unto Moshe, get thee up into this Mount Abirim, and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when thou hast seen it, thou also shalt be gathered unto thy people, as Aharon thy brother was gathered. For ye rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin, in the strife of the congregation, to sanctify me at the water before their eyes, that is the water of Meribah in Kadesh, in the wilderness of Zin. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, and Moshe spoke unto Yahweh, saying, let Yahweh, the Elohim of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of Yahweh be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And Yahweh said unto Moses, take thee Yehoshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thy hand upon him. And Moses didn't make it either. Now you thought you couldn't get no higher in stature than Aharon. Moses, Yahweh said, there is none like Moses in all my house who he speaks to face to face, that beholds the similitude of Yahweh, who he speaketh as a man speaketh to his friend. He said, there is no one that is more faithful in his house than Moses. And Moses didn't make it because he rebelled against the word of Yahweh. That's how serious Yahweh is about rebellion. Look in the book of 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter. In 2 Samuel, excuse me. In 1 Samuel, see, do I want the 13th chapter or the 15th chapter? In Samuel chapter 15, want to get right to it, so let's get to verse 17. Because Saul had not kept all the words of Yah when it came to what he should have did concerning Amalek. And in verse 17 of 1 Samuel the 15th chapter, it states, then Samuel said, when you was little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And Yahweh anointed thee king over Israel? And Yahweh sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of Yah, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of Yah? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of Yah, and have gone the way which Yahweh sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. You see this? This is how man does. This is what we do. Yahweh let him know, like, you didn't do everything I said do. But Saul, talking to Samuel, not considering that Samuel is Yah's prophet, and the words that Samuel said to him was the words of Yah, he rebutted Samuel, and that means he rebutted Yahweh and said, no, I did do what Yahweh told me to do. And he said in verse 21, but the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto Yahweh thy Elohim in Gilgal. Again, you see a man, a chief man, as the chief men in the wilderness, putting their own thing on the people. So the people took of the good stuff. Well, if you didn't want, you the king. If you didn't want them to take of the good stuff, you should have told them, no, destroy everything. That responsibility was on Saul. And Samuel said, hath Yahweh a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of Yahweh? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of Yah, he hath also rejected thee from being king. You see, so stature doesn't give you a shoe-in, doesn't give you an automatic ticket home just because you were king, prophet, or priest, or you think of yourself as a king, prophet, or priest. Just because you are regarded as a great and renowned man or woman amongst your congregation does not mean you're going to be part of the remnant. Yahweh wants one thing and one thing only, and that is righteousness. Also, just to show you that this is not going to be, the remnant is not going to be this massive amounts of people. Go to the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter. The first verse of Daniel chapter 12 says, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And how do you get delivered? You got to be written in the book. It says in verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Again, you cannot even consider yourself as to be, you know how when you're in a contest and it starts off with all these people, like a singing contest, like the star shows they be doing, and they start off with all these people all around the country, and they got these judges sitting there, and all these people come up every day that they're doing it, singing, singing and singing, singing their heart out. A lot of them can sing real good. But it'd be the exceptional ones that just get considered to be in the contest, to be in the final contest, to win it all. And that's what a remnant is. So to even stand in line so Yahweh can judge you, if you don't have righteousness on you, you're not even going to be there. Look what it says in Psalms 1. It states here in Psalms, the first chapter. Blessed in the first verse. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the wicked, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yah, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And tell me, how do you meditate in the law day and night and you telling people you can't keep the law? You obviously not meditating in the law because you're doing exactly against the law. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the wicked shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For y'all know the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish. Do you hear what Yahweh has just let us know? If you want to stand in the judgment, you cannot be wicked. You cannot be a sinner. And you cannot stand in the congregation of the righteous if you do wickedness. Yahweh won't allow it. And why won't Yah allow it? Let me show you why he won't allow wickedness to stand in the congregation of the righteous. It's in the book of Proverbs, the 29th chapter, the 27th verse. And in Proverbs 29 and 27, it states, an unjust man is an abomination to the just, and he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. Therefore, if you're wicked, righteousness is abominable to you. It's grievous to you. You tell people that you can't keep the laws. You tell people that it's impossible. You despise the word of the mighty Yah. Why? Because you're being wicked. And Yahweh don't allow righteousness and wickedness to commingle. And he won't allow it. He don't allow it. He'll never allow it. So if you want to even be considered to be a part of the remnant, you must do as Yahweh has said. And that is deal with righteousness. And we're going to bring to you the signs of the remnant. Because every sign that you'll see is what the righteous. There will not be a sign of the remnant that will teach you that is not a righteous thing that the righteous do. And once you see the signs of the remnant, you'll know how to identify what and who the remnant is, and if you are, and so you can change so you can be. This has been nothing but the truth of the mighty Yah. I'm Moray Ishai Yisrael. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we at the house of Yisrael. Shalom, hallelujah.
so it can be confirmed. To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh,